earthly fathers who love us.
It is such a privilege to be able to stand here and share with you God's word. Thank you. I'm not very tech savvy, as my husband and sons will tell you. So let's see how we're doing. That's good. Before we start the message, I don't know whether you can see it clearly. Who went yesterday to Tamina? Raise your hands. Wow, awesome. And you know, the kids there loved it. Even when a mom came to you know, pick up her daughter, she said, "Why are you here?" And she just wanted to stay on and just play with us. And you can't see here, you have Caleb playing, like doing taekwondo or something with the kids. And then Louise was walking with a kid. I think it was Irene, right? And then you can see the youths are hard at work, knocking and drilling, and the young and the adults too. So I'm really, you know, I'm really, really excited because it's a church thing. It's everybody putting in their effort. Thank you. So today's topic is, who is your father? Let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God. We praise you for your hand in creation, and we delight in your love. We are ever so grateful and thank you, and thankful that we can gather together every Sunday to read your word, to hear your word, and to be encouraged by your word in this fellowship of brothers and sisters. We ask that you help us to remain focused on your word, and I pray, May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning my message will be divided into three sections. The first one is the annual feast that the Israelites were told to keep, and coming of age of Jesus, and my father, your father. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. Here we are told by scripture that his parents have been going to the annual festival, or the especially the feast of the Passover. And then in verse 42, scripture says that when he was 12, they went up according to custom. So whether Jesus went before he was 12 or not, we don't know. It's not stated. In the Old Testament, God commanded the Israelites to celebrate three annual festivals. Let us read Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at a place that he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. The Feast of the Passover. Who knows what that is? I'm sure the youths know, right? So this Passover, as we look in Deuteronomy 16, verse 1, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. This happened, the first time it happened was when Moses and Pharaoh had their confrontation, right? And Moses told Pharaoh, if you don't let us go, this is what's going to happen. And the last plague was this, that the angel of death was going to pass by all the houses in Egypt. And unless the doorposts of your house had the blood of the lamb, the angel of death is going to go in and take the firstborn male. And if you, I don't know whether you can see on the right side of the picture, actually the families were eating, but they were holding their stick. And as they were eating, because remember the Passover, after the passing of the angel of death, after they have eaten, they were going to rush out. Why? Because they knew that Pharaoh is not going to allow them to leave the place. This feast is to celebrate the wheat harvest in the land of Israel. And this is from Exodus 34, verses 22. And it commemorates the anniversary of the day that God gave the Torah to the entire nation of Israel, assembled at Mount Sinai. And the third feast is the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is a joyous time. Why? And if we look further down, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the works of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. So these three festivals are to remind the Israelites of how good God has been to them and for them to honor God. This is a test question, the next one. Do you know what we celebrate today? Come on. Joshua? There's two Joshua, whichever one. What do we celebrate today? Christmas? Do you say Christmas? And Easter, right? And why do we celebrate these two, Christmas and Easter? Because when we celebrate, we are called to remember. Now remember, people, we are very forgetful. By tomorrow, we forgot what was said today, right? So when we commemorate festivals, when we celebrate festivals like Easter and Christmas, it is to remind ourselves how good God has been to us. And so thank God for his gift of salvation, for his blessings in our lives. In verse 42, we read earlier on that when Jesus was 12 years old, he went with his parents to the Feast of the Passover, right? And the Jewish custom is such that at 3 years old, they are given the tassel garment. And then when they are 5 years old, they are told to memorize. And one of the verse that they memorize is from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So from 5 years old onwards, they have to learn portions of the law. And at 12 years old, they are regarded as young adults, young men, and they are considered old enough to be responsible for their learning of the law. So here, according to Jewish custom, they actually, like some of these young men, they are buying this Hebrew text, a small leather box that contains a Hebrew text. This is just information for you. Okay. This is journey to the Feast of the Passover. At the top is Nazareth, and they have to go all the way to Jerusalem. And I Googled the map, and I said, okay, how far is it from Nazareth to Jerusalem? And the answer is 90 point something miles. And they said you could get there in 31 hours. But don't forget, nowadays we have the car, right? So of course it's going to take. But at that time when Joseph and Mary and Jesus and all the Israelites went, they didn't have that. They have to walk. So how many days, how many hours do you think it would take them at that time to go from one place to another? Anybody? 10 days? 1 month? Yes, Ezra. 31 hours? That is now, yes, but in the olden days. In the olden days. Yeah. And they have to walk, yes. I would say about 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. 31. You still think it's 31 hours? Okay. Good. Right. Now it's time for some math fun. Okay, Yus. If you had heard this, please don't say anything. What do you get if you subtract 1 from 26 sheep? There's a price to this. Ezra. No, I said you didn't know. You didn't know. No, because middle school have been told. Anyone? How many would you get if you subtract 1 from 26 sheep? Mm-hmm. You want to try, Sherry? Matthew, what about you? You want to try that? You have 19. So you already heard from Pastor Matt. Yes, because it's a pun on S-I-C-K, 26 sheep, so you get 19. But if you don't hear it properly, you say it's 26 minus 1, which is 25. Just a little. Yes? I know, I was thinking about that and I thought, you know what, maybe people don't even realize that, so that's fine. But I'm glad you are listening, Galio. Awesome. Awesome. So in Luke chapter 2, verses 44 to 45, as we read earlier, you know, what happened here? They lost Jesus. Can you imagine losing Jesus? Can you ever imagine your parents losing you? Have any of you been lost before? Oh, Tom, you have? Oh, Rebecca and Sherry, oh dear. Were you afraid? And I assume you were young.
I've never gone back to Disney World.
Yes. So when Mary and Joseph lost Jesus, they panicked. Their mind was worried. It's like, oh my goodness, I've lost my son. And they were afraid. Their minds and hearts were beating fast and thinking fast. Okay, where was the last place I saw him? Where, you know, I mean, it is fast. And fear came in. Let me share with you a story about Disney World, like Tom. This is my daughter. She was 4 years old. She is very strong-willed. And my son at that time was 9. And my son was above 4 feet. So he could sit any rides. And Sarah wanted to follow Andrew. And there was one ride that she couldn't go. And I tell her, I didn't make up the rules. Disney said, you can't go. You need to be 4 feet. She said, I don't care. I want to go. And I said, you can't go because, you know, and we go on and on. And I just said, you know, Sarah, stop it. You're not going. Okay, go, Andrew. Go with your dad. And then I thought, that's it. Disney World is huge, right? And so many people. And I saw her walk off, and I said, well, she's going to come back, right? 4 years old, she's going to come back. And she just, and I missed her. And I panicked. It's like, you know, where is she? Oh, Lord, you know, help me find her. You know, first person I go to is God. God, help me, I don't know where she is. And I went around. After about 2-3 minutes, I saw her standing like this beside a tall policeman. So she was wise enough to go and stand beside a policeman. But what I want to share with you is that as parents, guys and girls, you don't know, as parents, we love you so much. When we think you are lost, we will go all out to look for you, and we will not rest until we find you, like Mary and Joseph. And then what happened? So they went back to Jerusalem. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. As parents, how do you think we would feel? Jesus, what happened? Didn't you know we were looking for you, right? And maybe as children, you might say, why are you so angry? And the next one you could see. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father, and Joseph was standing nearby, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And what did Jesus say? Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? So, I don't know whether you caught it. Mary said, your father. And Jesus said, my father. Do you think they're both referring to the same father? No. So let us take a look at the definition of a father. According to Merriam-Webster, a man who has begotten a child, biological father, natural father, right? And then an old man used as a respectful form of address. And even in Merriam-Webster dictionary, the first person of the Trinity, that's your father too. And what about adoption? Not he that begets, but he that brings up is the father. It's just a special relationship that exists between a man and a child. Your father. Joseph is the human, the natural father on earth, the earthly father here. And Joseph took his role as a father seriously, like all fathers. I don't know whether you remember that when Joseph found out that Mary was with child, and that was before they were married, right? Joseph was thinking of going with Mary somewhere and then divorcing her quietly so that no shame would come upon her. But the angel came and told Joseph. And then Joseph believed the angel, and he remained married to Mary. And if you look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, Joseph was known as a righteous man there. And as Jesus grew, Joseph taught Jesus many things. Joseph was a carpenter. So Jesus is known as the carpenter's son. Playing with him, doing things together, teaching him the law. How to behave, know what is right and what is wrong. Your fathers did the same thing with you and with me too. And here it's different. Our fathers take you for piano lessons, piano practice, cello, dancing, swimming, soccer, everything and anything under the sun. But there's another role of the father that is quite serious. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, you shall teach them the word, God's word, diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Fathers, you are to instruct your children in all things, especially the things of God. And a father is someone who loves you. Joseph loves Jesus. Your father loves you just because you are his son, his daughter. Joseph made sure that Jesus was obedient and submissive, as we saw earlier on in verse 51, that Jesus remained submissive. And your father also modeled to you how to act, how to react, what to do in different situations. I'm sure, you know, as we talk, Sherry is known as Tianjie's daughter. Rebecca is known as Zhiwei's daughter, right? And Galio is known as AQ's son or Atiang's son. You know, we model after our parents and we are called by what our parents are. So maybe, you know, like, I don't know, my three older kids, they're in engineering. And then when I tell people that, they said, oh, their father must be an engineer. And I said, yes. So we tend to follow what our parents do. And I think we don't like it, but many times, discipline is good for us. Look at this one. Oh, not yet. So when you are sick, I don't know whether it's your mom or your father who goes and take care of you, make sure you're well, pray for you, dispense medicine to you. And as a form of discipline, I don't know, how many of you, your father takes away your phone when your grades are down or when you don't obey? Oh, you have good parents then, you're good, you know. Or even, you know, stop you from playing computer games until you finish your homework or, you know, or your grades are up. And I want to ask you this question, youths. What do you think, or even adults? What do you think of your father putting a little, I don't know, a little policing on your cell phone so that they know where you are all the time? Is that interference? Is that not trusting you? Matthew, I see you nodding. But remember, your father loves you, and that's why he does it. Because he's teaching you, he's knowing where you go, because you are young, and being young, sometimes we are irresponsible. And I know in the Chinese culture, not like the American culture, we Chinese tend to just think, good job, well done, you know. And we don't verbalize those things. And I don't know how many dads verbalize their gratitude to you for yesterday's work at Tamina Center. You know, well done, good job. Praise the Lord for what you're doing. I love you. That's not in our culture, but it's something that we can learn. A wise earthly father does not grant all requests, but all which are for the good of his children and which are in his power to grant. Again, the child asks, without fear, yet no refusal shakes his or her trust in his or her father's love or power. So I just want to encourage us all that our fathers love us so much. And some examples of fathers from the Bible is Noah. Was he a good father? He heard God. He built the ark. Was he a good father? Samuel, he was a great prophet. He anointed David. And then David, was he a good father? Was he a great father? Was he a perfect father? And Eli, and some of the well-known fathers that we know now, like Brad Pitt, is he a good father? Was he a perfect father? Billy Graham, he has brought many to Christ. Billy Ray Cyrus, that's Miley Cyrus' dad. Is he a good father? Fred Phelps, that's Michael Phelps' father. Was he a good father? Because Michael Phelps had how many? 16 gold medals? I don't remember. But are they may be good fathers, but are they perfect fathers? No, because we are all imperfect. We all have weaknesses. However, know this, everybody. Romans 3:22 say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Thus, we have weaknesses, we are not perfect, fathers make mistakes. But the thing to remember is that fathers love their children, whether it's natural children or adopted children. And fathers desire their children to do well, to become successful, caring, and loving people, and most of all, to become godly men and women. So who is the perfect father? Do you want to know him? Do you know who he is? The only perfect father that ever existed and will ever exist is God our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is wise. He loves at all times. He listens to us. He never says, I'm busy. He never becomes angry easily. It's like, and he's non-judgmental. And we can see from Scripture in James chapter 1, verse 7, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So God gives willingly and abundantly to us. And all we need to do is ask him, is to come before him and ask him, Father God, help me with this. In Matthew 7, verse 9 to 11, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? You won't. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? You won't. As natural fathers, you won't. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is not evil. He is good. He is kind. He is loving. He's our guide, he's our encourager, he's our protector, he's our provider. And the Lord's Prayer. We always pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Our great and almighty God is our Father, and he is entitled to being called a Father because he is unique, he is different. And we become his children and can with boldness call him our Father. And Tim Keller says that when John writes, see what kind of love the Father has given, he's asking, from what planet or from what world does this kind of love come from? Because God our Father sent his Son to die for us. God our Father loves us so much. And it's like unlike anything we have ever seen. Unlike anything we can ever compare it to. It's not from our world. It's not like any love a human could give. It's completely set apart, that love. So our Father God is called a Father because he's our creator and the great parent of all. And in a sense, he is the father of those who are adopted into his family, who put confidence in him, who are the true followers of Christ and made heirs of life. And this will be the last verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. Let us all read this together. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we call Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So who is your Father? If you receive God as your Heavenly Father, does that mean that nullify your earthly father? No. Our earthly father will always be our father. But now, look at the great advantage. Now you have another father that you call our Heavenly Father. So will you accept God as your Heavenly Father? If you have not received Jesus into your heart, I would like to invite you to come to him today. You can build your life on a relationship with Jesus, Son of God. Now you have a Heavenly Father to guide you besides an earthly father. Many of us all here are believers and have accepted Christ as our Savior, and we all have relationships with Jesus. And as believers, it's not right to just say, I believe in God, and that's it. We still need to read his word. We need to have devotional times, we need to have quiet times with him, and we need to pray and ask God to continue to help us, because we are weak. We are so filled with things that are not right in His sight. So I want to encourage us all to sit at the feet of Jesus. So at this time, I would like to invite the worship team to lead us in a quiet worship, and the prayer team to come out and be ready to pray. And I just want to say, if you have any desire to want to commit your life to Christ, come up and speak to our prayer warriors here. Or if you are sick in any way, you have the flu or the fever, you can still come up and receive prayers. And if there's anything in your heart that you want to just have someone pray with you over, please come up. It is not a time where we are afraid to come out, because it's all about God, never about you. So let us put our hands together and bow and spend about some time in just quiet meditation.
So Christ passed down through generations, the Son of God, teaching us to pray.